This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm Tisha Ik with Juliet Jacobs and Shamila Gunnison. Fresh off the success of her Netflix series Tidying Up with Marie Kondo, the Japanese guru of decluttering has now launched her own website, konmarie.com. So this online store sells a collection of items that they call a collection of items that they say on the website it sparks joy for Marie and enhances your everyday routine.
Hi, I'm Marie Kondo. I'm so excited to introduce the shop at KonMarie. Many people have asked what I use in my everyday life. This shop is a collection of my favorite things and items that spark joy. The goal of tidying is to make room for meaningful objects, people, and experiences. I hope my vision of a joyful life inspires yours.
So Marie Kondo first began promoting the KonMarie method of decluttering in her 2014 best-selling book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. What a cultural phenomenon that was. Then came 8 episodes of her Netflix series in which she visits various families in America to help them basically get rid of unnecessary material objects in their homes.
And she became a household name even before her Netflix series exploded with her t-shirt folding method, you know, being cited as a way to relieve anxiety. And she says that you should declutter your belongings by category instead of by room. So start with your clothes, then all of your books, then work on to your way to your documents, your then miscellany, and last and most difficult, sentimental items.
So, you know, she's got these 6 rules of tidying up and these methods, but at the heart of her book and her teachings basically is the philosophy of simplifying. It's supposed to be an individualized approach to self-discovery, so she doesn't tidy up for you. Unfortunately, if you were
that's what
thinking
I mean.
That, yeah. She encourages you to find your own meaning in the stuff that you own and to decide for yourself what you really need. So along the way, you will inevitably confront your emotional attachment to stuff. And actually, if you watch the Netflix series, what comes through is how all of the stuff that you own has been affecting your relationships with others and even your ability to function.
So I have a question. How does a retail store fit into the KonMarie platform?
Indeed. The philosophy of decluttering, isn't it? Well, let's mosey on over to the website and see what will make a good Christmas gift. And we'll see whether it fits into this philosophy. So, a large cheese knife, anyone? Handcrafted in the Japanese city of Setuchi. Only if you have $180 to spare, by the way.
Well, then there is $108 body brush. Kind of looks like one of our toilet brushes. but it's made with carefully selected bark from the windmill palm native to Wakayama.
Well, I think I want this. You know, it's a $200 tea container, and it's a collaboration between the Hatashiki Wood Workshop and the Hasami Porcelain. And this canister is handcrafted from hardy Japanese elm. I want that. Hint, hint. Not so subtle, hint, hint.
You know how much we earn, Juliet. So.
Yes. So we might barely be able to afford the $42 flower bouquet tote made from locally sourced surplus raw denim. I'll make one out of my own jeans for you.
All right. That is surplus denim. What you do get from reading the items, right, is this, what she's also trying to sell, the idea that all of her items are unique. They're not mass-produced plastic stuff. It's handcrafted from this person, from this particular area, using naturally sourced and sustainable materials.
The tears of fairies. I made that one up. That's not on the website.
Pretty ladies in this.
Not surprisingly, there's been some backlash to her online store. And just a few of the comments going around on the internet. An article in The Atlantic says Marie Kondo has gone full goop.
And that's exactly what I was thinking. She sounded so much like our dear friend Gwyneth. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. So I just want to read one line from the article. She has muscled her way to legitimate celebrity status in America. And in 2019, the end game of fame is always sales. I would argue not just in 2019. seen. That's always been the case. Yeah. Celebrities will use their brand to sell you things. Just a couple of Twitter comments. Major Tom says, okay, I will be the first to admit I'm a Con Marie lifer, but you guys, she's selling a stick. That's a $12 shiatsu stick, by the way. And HK Stato on Twitter also said, the irony is free at least, isn't it?
But Marie Kondo has told Wall Street Journal that she's not actually trying to promote consumerism. So she claims that the idea for the store came from people who asked her what items she liked to have around the house.
So of course she has to sell them.
Yes. So the store launched, you know, just weeks after Japan's biggest e-commerce site, Rakuten, announced a commercial partnership with Marie Kondo. And Rakuten will invest in KonMari Media to become a majority shareholder and will also collaborate on entertainment content, other branded initiatives. And Marie Kondo will also be appointed as Rakuten's first joy ambassador.
But that makes a lot of sense. I think the next level, because she helps. I mean, if you just go by the Netflix series, she's gone into people's homes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next place is the workplace, mm-hmm. right? That is the inevitable step up. But anyway, joining us on the line now is consultant clinical psychologist Paul Jambunathan. We're going to be exploring with him the psychology of consumerism. So, Paul, why do we look for joy or pleasure in things?
One important thing about the human personality is that it yearns definition. I must be at any time be able to define myself to myself. And it's not about what other people see in me. So we're not talking about possessions that people interpret as an external story. This is an internal issue of buying things and owning things. So we're only going to look at it from that point of view. The reason why I need things on me, around me, in my primary space is because these things define me. It's a yearning. Self-definition is a yearning which goes on to be part of your self-esteem and the way you value yourself, and you're sending messages all the time. So that is one of the reasons why we need to own things.
Mm. Do our needs and wants change? And how does that change what we own?
Yes, most definitely. There is this real concept called the human lifespan, and values change over the lifespan. Family dynamics change over the lifespan. Personality evolves from being a 2-year-old to a 20-year-old to an 82-year-old. Needs and wants begin to balance out. You'll have lesser wants and you'll be more concerned about maintaining the needs that you have. Hopefully, as you grow, you will sieve through a lot of stuff, and the precipitate will be the fundamental definition of who you are. And that is why they say you can't take all your material possessions with you into the next world, because you're only left with the bare necessities. Yes, things will change. Desires will change. Don't forget the whole market changes. There are newer things out there that define you better than the things you had before. In the past, a Scheffer or a Parker pen would have defined me very well. But now that the stylus and a notebook is available, they define me even better. So I get rid of the old Scheffer and Parker, and I buy a notebook with a fantastic stylus. So as the times change, we identify props, we identify signals around us that define us in a more efficient manner. This is non-judgmental. I'm not saying it's good, it's not bad. But this is one of the reasons why we need things to help define us.
You know, but doesn't this make us victims of capitalism? I mean, why are we looking to objects to kind of convince ourselves that these can improve our lives?
Your last line when you said to improve our lives by them, you know, we rationalize purchasing or owning things thinking this will improve our lives. That is only one part of it. Not everything you own improves your life. Everything you own may improve your quality or your perception of your quality of life. But having 10 pens is not going to improve your life. Having 10 different watches is not going to improve your life. But if you feel that you have all these brands in your possession, that might improve it might change the perception of your quality of life. It's only your perception. Now, yes, it is. We all need things to wear because we don't communicate enough. One reason is, okay, let me use these two phrases, the phrase of extrinsic and the opposite one is intrinsic. because we are such social animals, we are very involved in extrinsic issues, things outside us, things that motivate us from outside, from without. And we've fallen into that trap of consumerism, of relating to people, because that's a language on its own, you know. It's a fantastic language, the language of buying, the language of purchasing, the language of ownership, the language of things that are external to us. We are saying so much to the world around us by what we own, what we wear, and how we show it off. What we wear and own inside, we have not learned to use that language well enough. Anybody can sell anything, but why do you want it? I wonder whether people are suffering from some kind of spiritual hunger of sorts, and they're trying to fill this desire that they have with all kinds of stuff that has meaning. And so they go around buying things to fill this void that they have. Now, anyone can go through minimalism right up to hoarding behavior. And if you're going to be working along this continuum back and forth occasionally as you psychodynamically evolve, I think that's fine. But if you're going to stop and say, I'm going to be a minimalist full stop, and 10 years later you're still a minimalist and you haven't changed the things that you've minimized to, I'd be a bit concerned, because are you adapting well enough or not? Are you trying new things out or not? And then coming back to this, to your basic wants and needs idea. But if you're forever collecting, 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 then I'll be worried too. But if you're going to live the life of a monk because of, for a good reason, I can respect that as well. But evolution must happen. The lifespan must evolve. And going around and preaching, saying, throw away your unnecessary stuff, can work for some people, because decluttering will work occasionally, transiently. However, later on, you can always buy some more and then give it away again. It's a very good exercise in terms of you evaluating yourself, evaluating why, when, what, who, what for, what reason, to what extent, and exercising it and coming back. So you're thinking, you're feeling, you're acting, you're alive.
That sounds very similar to what Marie Kondo is preaching, which is that you should evaluate your things to see which of them sparks joy in you. And, you know, she's had an almost cult-like following for that philosophy, and perhaps that's why her retail presence has created such an uproar in response then. So why have we invested so much faith in one person telling us how to lead our lives?
The issue of why do people need to listen to a message and take it on so personally, this issue of authentication is very necessary. You will only listen to people or take advice when they are in a position of some higher position of knowledge, of power, of celebrity status, and we call that sales and marketing. And that's why you have the beautiful woman or the handsome man selling you a health product. That's why you have a professor talking about a certain kind of educational component. We need this gradient. It is our lack of self-esteem, our inability to evaluate and authenticate various other issues, and we turn to these very quick, we call them rules of thumb kind of idea, where you decide on, somebody else tells you that this person is in some form of authority, is looked up to, he's an influencer, yes, he must be right, or she must be right. And it basically stems from an insecurity, a low self-worth, and inadaptability to the situation, and you're crying for help. So-and-so said it, I'll try it out. But if they say, I'll try it out and give it a little time, I think that's a lot better, rather than say, I'll try it out and I'll do this forever. I'll come back to this. The authenticity will be self-awareness, questioning yourself, about using this how, where, why, what, when, who, and to what extent, these kind of questions, and evaluating yourself. Are you aware you're buying this? For what reason? The self-awareness is the bottom line, and proper evaluation.
So that was consultant clinical psychologist Paul Jambunathan weighing in on this. Mm. And we've had some comments on social media.
Yes. So on this note of buying things, we've been asking you on Twitter, does buying things make you happy? So we're actually tied at 46% each say yes, buying things do make you happy. But another 46% say only temporarily, while only 8% of people say buying things don't make you happy. We have some comments. Constantly Dazed said, if buying things things that improves our knowledge and skill, then yes, I am happy buying them. Sui Chuan Ku said, until you find another thing that you want to own, usually within hours or even minutes, minimalism really gives peace in my life. And Born to Rebel said, I'd rather give and see someone else happy or fill their empty stomach.
And this consumerist desires, I think, is really fed by the fact that we're online all the time, and that links to our first story as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Where because of, say, Facebook is sending me ads that they know, you know, stuff that they know I want, and it takes so much willpower to be able to say no. Mm. And so that's where it really sticks, this whole KonMari.com thing. How can Marie Kondo be telling us to let go of things, not have those attachments, but still... very insidiously feed us more things.
So it's really only let go of the things that she doesn't want you to hang on
yes,
to.
Or true.
Let go of them to make space of the things I want to sell to you. I mean, it seems really hypocritical, to be honest.
I think what she's going back to is, like you said, Sherwick, her products seem very one of a kind, right? Mm-hmm. Artisan and all of that. So don't waste your time on this cheap plasticky nonsense. You know, invest in, I don't know how many $200 tea canister. That's going to bring you the joy because it's so... rare.
Well, she says it sparks joy for her.
Exactly.
And therefore hopes that it will spark joy for us too. I would not be very joyful having spent $200 on a toilet brush.
just on one last note, I think I'm curious to know, we talk about zero waste a lot, Juliet.
Definitely.
How does something like this square, in the first place, I guess the idea of decluttering should fit into the idea of zero waste, but how does this website then square with that? Right?
The number one rule of a zero waste lifestyle is to refuse. Mm. So if it's things you don't need, you just refuse them. So that is the simplest answer I can give you. You don't need it, don't buy it. Just say no.
Well, if you have any issues with cluttering, perhaps you feel the need to talk to a psychologist about it, well, Paul J will be in the studio next Wednesday, 4th December, for his monthly mental health clinic segment, so you can ask him any questions you want about issues related to your mental and emotional well-being. Thanks for listening to the Daily Digest today. You can look us up on Facebook on our BFM The Bigger Picture page if you'd like to drop us a message. And if you've missed any part of the show earlier, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest on our BFM app or on Spotify. We'll be leaving you with the Beatles' Can't Buy Me Love, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.